Zechariah predicts that the Holy Spirit will have the symbol of olive oil. As he saw in the future, he saw olive trees. And God said, that's it. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. Are you here, somebody?
Yes.
Now, somebody say access.
Access.
Say it again. Say access.
Access.
So, number one, access. Karamande rebrahados. Number two, David's anointing. David, King David, in 1 Samuel 16, gave him access to the throne above his brothers. We all know that there was a man by the name Samuel who was a prophet who went to David. This was not just to consecrate him to be a priest of God, no, but to anoint him so that he must have access to a higher rank, the greatest position of the land. And he would not have that position without being given access by the anointment of oil. This did not just represent the Spirit of God, but this was a prophetic act of divine stamping. Karamovahata. Somebody say, I receive a divine stamp.
I receive a divine stamp.
Say it again. I receive a divine stamp.
I receive a divine stamp.
So, you must understand. So, there was the moment the man was anointed, immediately he had access. Do you understand? It only took 2 days. It only took 2 days upon being anointed, where there was a discussion in the palace. And the discussion was, the king needs someone who can play music. And they said, who can do it? One man stood up in the same palace and he said, I know of a young man, his name is David. 2 days ago, the man was anointed to be a king. But how do you become a king without experience? Doors must open in the palace. Some of you have no idea what will begin to happen. If you're watching me tonight, God told me we have an access anointing oil, and there will be an anointing of access to now wherever you're watching from, and there will be access in the realms that people have never thought. I speak this as a prophet of God, and I'm telling you this. Expect things to start happening. Number three, are you still here? The widow's oil gave her access to financial multiplication and a debt-free life. In 2 Kings chapter 4, we hear a story how oil was used by a prophet. A prophet said, what do you have in your house? The woman said, I have oil. The rest is history. The woman became a most successful woman. She became the oil dealer. Dealing with oil, she ventured in the oil business, and scripture says she had so much money that a prophet said, the money you have made, go and pay off all your debts, and the remaining money use you and your children. There's an access that some of you touch money and the finances you have never thought you would ever touch. Somebody say,
I'm here.
Access oil, as the Lord spoke to me, it is the anointing that turns closed doors into open heavens. In Revelation 3 verse 8, scripture tells us that I know your work. See, I set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. Somebody say, a door that no one can shut. God will open doors in your life that nobody will be able to shut. How many here have ever experienced where it was like something nice was happening, and before they knew it, it stopped happening? Can I ask your hand up if you have ever seen something good was about to happen, and then all of a sudden, it was kind of like... Now, do you know why? Because this program had not yet happened. If this program had happened, I can promise you today in the name of Jesus, that would never have had happened. The reason why it happened, because there was no prayer of an open door that no one can... This time around, every opportunity that will open, there will be no force, nobody, no humanity, spirituality, principality, entity that will be able to stand and close it. I stand here as a major prophet, and I announce a door that nobody shall close. Number two, the access oil is the anointing that turns rejection into exhortation. Rejection into what? Promotions. Psalm 75, verse 6 to 7. For exhortation comes neither from the east nor from the what? No.
From the south.
In NIV, let's read in NIV as well. In NIV, it says what?
No one
from the east or the west or from the desert can exhort themselves.
And in Good News, and we're going to go to verse 7 as well.
Judgment does not come from the east or from the west, from the north or from the south.
Thank you so much. Now, I want you to see these words, judgment, exhortation. Now, we're going to read the last version, we're going to check in New Living Translation. Now, it says, can you go there? It says what?
For no one on earth, from east or west, or even from the wilderness, should raise a defiant fist.
Now, let's go ahead. Now, verse 7.
It is God alone who judges. He decides who will rise and who will fall.
It says, nobody must be deciding your fate. Not your boss, not a companion. Nobody should be deciding whether you must be lifted or not. It says God alone must make that judgment. Tonight, how many are saying, I want God to make a judgment and a ruling for my position and for my level, whether to remain here or to go on top? Because when God decides, no one can stop it. Sit down. So as I anoint, as we pray with this anointing, what is going to happen in the realms of the spirit? It is that a decision, a stamp from the heavenly courts, will be stamped over your name. It will be stamped over your life. And no one will decide whether you should remain where you are or you should be uplifted. Are you ready, somebody? Now look at your neighbor and give them a prophecy. Just any prophecy you can give them. Tell them what will happen in 2 weeks. Number three, access oil is the anointing that turns scarcity into overflow, lack into abundance. Anyone else here who you are struggling, or you are believing God for something and it was not happening, you are going to move from that situation into an overflow. Psalms 23, verse 5. The Bible here reads, it says,
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over.
So scripture says, the moment oil came upon his head, it says his cup
runs over.
Now, maybe you do not understand what it means when it says the cup runs over. Now, in those days, people were keeping money in jars. Remember, the money of those days were in coins. So people would put money in a cup, not in a bank. Put your money in a cup and then take another one, put it there. Keep on putting coins. When it's full and you are putting on top, what will happen? So when he says, my cup runs over, he was not talking about water. It deals with abundance. But he says, God puts what? Oil on my head. Okay, let's find out. Was he really talking about money? Let's find out. When he was anointed, when he went to the battle, and when he saw Goliath, what was his statement? What will I receive if I kill this man? If I kill this man, what will I receive? And the Bible says, well, you'll be given what? Number one, marriage. You will marry the king's daughter. He said, Jesus. Number two, you'll be exempted from giving tax. You won't pay tax. That's money. That's financial breakthrough. Number three, you'll be given money. When God anoints you, it is not just for self-gratification, for you to be happy. There is a mission. Are you understanding me? There is a what? There are people God wants us to touch. There is a world God wants us to touch. There is a society God wants us to touch. From last month, I've been praying for my members, sons and daughters, to be involved in politics. Well, you might consider doing it. But most people think it's actually sinful. You guys, listen to me. You must be in charge of policy making. I'm telling you. And it's actually unspiritual not participating in the affairs of your land. Look all the men in the Bible, Moses, look, Nehemiah, look, all these great men in the Bible, Deborah. These people, God used them to touch their land. It's my prayer God should use you to touch your communities. I'm seeing ministers of government here. Are you here? We should have people. Not just every time, just have people in the church. Everybody in the church, they look so, you look at them. Every time, rababa. Rababa without power. We want to have your rababa when you have got $10 million in your account. We want you when we say rababa. You have a high position, you are a mayor. Is it prophetic ministry? That's who we are. We are not just a group, a bunch of some struggling people in a building. Are you hearing me? Prophetic people, we are not just a bunch of struggling people in a building. No. We are policy makers. We change communities. Tell your neighbor, neighbor. Oil on your head. Tell your neighbor again, oil on your head. Access. Say you remove from lack into abundance. This is not just an abundance of only you. No, we are talking about an abundance that you can actually touch the community. And I can look, when I'm looking at you, I can see some of you, in fact, where you are staying does not reflect the anointing you carry. I rebuke that house. The Lord is opening something for you. I love prophetic ministry so much. I love prophetic ministry because people think it's a bunch, a group of some. No. This is a place where experts are produced. It's a visionary ministry. We see far and we plan. Somebody say, I align myself. Hey. So when we speak of the oil, most people, all they think, okay, a very good example is a prophetic ministry itself. When people hear prophetic ministry, all they think is a prophet on a pulpit. No. There are 7 types of prophets. There are pulpit prophets, and then there are 6 other type of prophets which are not on the pulpit. They are sitting in this congregation, and some are watching me. Hello? There are 6 other. Okay. When Elijah came out, he said, Lord, I'm the only prophet who did not bow to Baal. God said, shut up. He said, there are 5,000.
Yeah.
He said, oh, I thought I was the only one. He said, there are other 5,000 who did not bow to Baal. Where are they written in the Bible that there was another prophet and there were 5,000 prophets? This one, they are nowhere. Because these prophets may not have the ministerial calling on the pulpit. We have business prophets. Somebody say business prophets. They are also prophets, but they're business prophets. Do you know an example in the Bible? Abraham. Abraham was not a pulpit prophet. There is no way Abraham was ministering to people to say, repent your sins. God never called him to go and pray for people. Scripture says he was called for greatness. God said, I have called you to go to a place. There, I will make you what? I will make you great. I'll curse who will curse you. I'll bless who will bless you. There, I'll make you into a great person. Not only that, but you shall enter real estate. You shall possess the land. The prophet of real estate. Meanwhile, people in the church, they just follow Abraham's faith. I partake his faith. No. Partake his business acumen. The man went in Egypt and nobody came back, a serious business titan. The Bible says he had livestock, he was rich in gold, in silver. This is a prophet, but not on the altar. A And I have prophets sitting and looking at me. They don't even know. They're looking at me like this. If you're not careful, you die poor. Joseph, are you here? He was not a poverty prophet. He was not a business prophet. He was a financial prophet. The man understood financial matrix. He understood financial trends. He would know how the economy would move. Are you here? He would say, tell me your dream. And as you speak a dream, he would see an economy. Can you imagine somebody is talking about a dream of cows and the man is seeing money? If it was you seeing cows, you would have thought of Robola. Like I saw seven. Bread price. Seven fat cows. But when the man was talking to Joseph, Joseph said, hey, what you are telling me is an economy. This is our economy in the land. We need financial management. We need somebody who's able to manage the wealth. And the king says, you'll be the one managing it. Can you imagine all this? Who gave Joseph the ability to manage money? He understood financial matrix prophetically. Who gave Abraham the ability into business? The Bible says in visions, God spoke to him. Prophetic ministry has got many prophets, not just on the pulpit. Then you have pulpit prophets, Elijah, Jeremiah. These are pulpit prophets. They will tell you repent. They will tell you about the will of God. They will speak to you. Isaiah. This is another group of prophets. So imagine you are prophetic like the way you are, and you are seated where you are seated, and God has given you. And in fact, when you sit down, you see visions. You see an idea. You have an idea how you will open it. You will see connections. You have got, you see India, you see China, you have got a lot of plans around you, and they'll end up like that. No way. Whatsoever you have been seeing, it is not just your mind. The Holy Ghost has been involved, showing you what you are, what you must do. And I'm telling you, as I anoint you today, your vision shall come to pass. Prophetic ministry is so complex. Sit down, everybody. It needs to be understood from a diverse perspective. It is so diverse. There are moments when I'm praying like this. God says, now, I don't want to talk to you as a pulpit prophet. I want to speak to you as a financial prophet. I say, yes, sir. So you have to understand these things. Tell your neighbor today. Access guaranteed. Somebody say, I'll enter through doors where others are denied. I'll enter through offices where others will never go through. Say, do not take connections. Just a heavenly visa. You will receive phone calls in places you have never thought. Your names will be mentioned in the boardrooms. Can you say with me again, say access? You know, prophetic stuff prophetic things. Huh? When I was reading the Bible, whenever I read the Bible, I get so overwhelmed. How can an ordinary man who is just in the bush taking care of the sheep, just by meeting a prophet and putting oil on his head, and this man is not from the king's lineage, he's not a son of a king, and is being told you'll be a king, and events begin to happen. Suddenly, he marries the king's daughter. He becomes the son-in-law. Suddenly, the man kills Goliath. Suddenly, he's the best friend of the king's son. Suddenly, look what your neighbor says, you have no idea how connections will begin to happen. Say access. If you see my prayer points, you can laugh. Me, I don't pray like, Lord, open my door, open my door. I used to pray those prayers, you know, when I was so young in the spirit. I know prayers. I would take oil like this and I would stand like this. And I'll pray a prayer because I know what the Bible says. You must know Jesus never died for your bank account. These are things which he told us that if we speak them on our own, they will happen. They are not in the jurisdiction of God to come and fix them for you. It is us. God will show you visions. It is us. The only thing that he deserved to come and die was our sins. The rest we can fix. As long as you have got the anointing to do it. After tonight, even anybody else who's watching me, you know what I'm seeing? I'm seeing doors opening. And no one will what? Let me finish. The access oil will bring joy. God will turn your mourning into a crown. God will turn your crying into a crown. You are not getting it. In Hebrews 1 verse 9, the Bible says, because you have hated what? Because you loved righteousness and hated lawlessness, therefore God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. In business studies, when you are studying business, there is what is known as comparative advantage. Say comparative. So this is when we are doing a comparison. I'm trying to compare your price and the price. So he has a car, a Mercedes-Benz. He has a Mercedes-Benz, same make, same year. And I ask him how much, and he says 1 million. And I ask him how much, he says 500,000. Already there is a what? Comparative what? He has an advantage. Comparative advantage. When I compare the price, one is better. However, it doesn't stop there. It also goes now. When I check, the one that is cheaper could have problems. And the one that is expensive could be better. So it also gives him what? Comparative what? Now imagine that you are in that situation. God says, because you hate sin, you hate wickedness, and you love righteousness, I have raised you above. In other words, if you are applying for a job, you are already applying from where? From above. You are applying on an advantage. You are already what? Am I talking to you? One time I was praying for something and I said, God, I stand here because I'm above. And my advantage here is my stand, where you have positioned me in the spirit. God has exalted you above your fellows, your companions. No one should compete with you. Just from that point, nobody should compete with you. Some here. Are you here? Now, let's finish. Number one, I said, the oil of joy, it is when God will turn your crying, your mourning, into a crown. The access oil is the oil of joy, but not just any other joy. And I want you to hear this. This type of joy, it is that one that crushes sorrow, the joy that confuses enemies, the joy that attracts miracles. It is the kind of Nehemiah's joy. In Nehemiah chapter 8 verse 10, the Bible says what? It says, then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat,
drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength.
This is when the joy of the Lord will become your strength. Anyone else who's believing God for an access, for a door to open, for an opportunity to be done,
yes,
whether for healing, for breakthrough, for deliverance, something great is going to happen. This access will bring the harness joy. 1 Samuel 2 verse 1, where those who were mocking her for being barren were all silenced. When suddenly the barren woman gave birth to a major prophet, and his name was Samuel. Hey, you can't deliver, you can't have a baby, you can't have a baby. The oil of the Lord silenced her mockers. May anyone else mocking you be silenced in the name of Jesus. Are you here? This is not an emotional happiness. This is a prophetic joy. It is a prophetic weapon that God uses in the realms of the spirit. Am I talking to somebody? And as I said to you, once this access comes upon you, your joy becomes a magnet for miracles. In Psalms 30 verse 5, the Bible says,
for his anger is but for a moment. His favor is for life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning.
Tell your neighbor that time of endurance is over.
Time of endurance is over.
Says joy now coming.
It's joy now coming.
Am I talking to you? Look at Joseph. His brothers hated him. But the Spirit of God, the oil of God, made him a prime minister. Look at Esther. She was an orphan. But the oil of beauty and favor made her a queen. Look at Joseph. His prison became a palace. Today, I'm not just talking to you. If you have oil, raise up your oil. God told me to do one thing. He said, the people shall be anointed. Are you here? Some here, prophet. Let me just teach you quickly how to use the oil. All right? When we are anointing your hands, it is for divine connection, business deals, and ministry opportunities. when you're anointing your feet, is to walk into new territories, promotions, and divine appointments. When you anoint on top of your eyes, it is to see hidden opportunities and recognize divine setups. Ears, to hear the voice of God clearly for direction.